Good morning, everybody. We want to welcome you back to week six of our special study. We've been going through this pandemic virus thing. And first of all, I just want to shout out to those servants that were down at the church yesterday that was helping pack lunches for today's downtown outreach. They packed up almost 160 sack lunches. Today, we're going to be handing them out after church, and so to those that are less fortunate than us. So please be praying for them, and I just want to thank everybody that was down there helping out through that. And also, I want to remind everybody, I'm excited about this. Next Sunday at 10:30, we're going to resume our church services. We're going to ask that if you feel like maybe you're health has been compromised in any way, that you would just stay home and get rested up and keep healing. Maybe you're just not ready to come right in and jump right in to a group thing, and that's fine too. I just want to encourage you, you can stay at home. We're going to be streaming online, so you'll be available to, it'll be available to watch there right here on Facebook. We won't be having any children's church. There's just no way to maintain that 6-foot boundary, so we will not be having children's church. So you may or may not want to consider, they're welcome to sit with you in the sanctuary, or you can watch it live on TV again. But we're just going to, things are going to be a little bit different, but believe me, things will be getting back to normal, and I'll be excited when that does. We're just going to take every precaution to protect your family and our family. So once again, I want to welcome everybody. This is week six of our final study, the series that we've been going through, how to get through what we're going through. And we're all going through some stuff right now. And as always, it's my goal to share some biblical principles with you that are going to help you navigate you through your life out in the world, that's going to help you navigate through this crisis that we're going to go through. That it's going to give you confidence in your life. You're going to be competent in everything. And most of all, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is that you'd have some calmness in your life. Because things, from what I've gathered and from what I feel in my own life and just from talking to everybody else, things have been a little bit hectic. But I want you to be able to have some calmness in your life. I want you to be able to, after today, to be able to control the things that you can control in your life, and to trust God in all the stuff that you can't control with in your life. So we've been in the book of James. It's a wonderful book that we've been going through. Most of this series we've been on and been in Proverbs a lot. We will be doing that again today, but mainly we've been in the book of James because it has been written to encourage people. These people in their life, that they're experiencing severe pressures in their life right now. They're going through all kinds of stress in their life right now. And so whether, you know, it's due to a crisis in your life or whether it's some personal issues going on in your life, we all go through these. So this morning, what I want to talk to you about, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Proverbs. We're going to finish up in the book of James. And just like the early believers that we're going to read about, they were kind of going through their own crisis. They were having this very difficult time. They were somewhat in a lockdown situation because of the Roman Empire, and so they were themselves in a sort of isolation. And when that happens to us, what the results of that is great stress on our life, great anxiety in our life, and even at sometimes, and especially after it's been for a while, we can have some anger built up in our lives. So today, many of you that's hearing this message today, many of you that might be hearing this message later on, you know, maybe it's because of the confinement of the COVID-19 virus, whatever it might be, but you may be have been feeling a little bit on edge. Maybe you're just struggling with a little bit of anxiety or stress, or maybe you've been feeling just a little bit more short-tempered than you normally are. Maybe the anxiety is setting in and the frustration is setting in. All of a sudden it's become your constant companion. Maybe anger has raised its mighty head in your household quite a few times. Now, I just want you to know today that that's normal. That's just the way it is. That's the way life is. It's normal. So my hope today, and I want you to know, and I hope that you understand this, but my hope today is that we would look out and we'd find out where is this anger coming from? And once we do that, we'll learn something about ourselves and we'll learn more how to control it. But where does that anger come from? And so what I want to share with you also is these biblical steps that would bring you back to a calm life, that would help you to reduce this level of anger that we have in our lives, and that those others that have around us, and we've seen it on the news, and we've just seen things happening. And so honestly, right now, when we look at these things, I think we have every right to be angry. Some of us are out of work. Some of us don't know when we're going to go back to work. Some of us know that we're not going to go back to work. We've been quarantined in our homes. Some of us, against our wishes, and so we've been quarantined. We've been caring for the kids at home all day. They were normally in school during the days. Now all of a sudden you have more people in your house, more laundry in your house, more dinners to cook in your house, more cleaning to do in your house. So things can get, when they change like this, they can be very stressful. And bring up it brings up a lot of heated emotions in our life. Irritability. Frustration, short-tempered, and even downright just anger in our life and just meanness. So these biblical principles that I'm going to share with you today, they won't keep you from getting the virus. I wish they would, but they're not going to keep you from getting the virus. But where they are going to help with is they're going to help you cope in this situation. They're going to help you cope with this pent-up anger. Of why am I confined, or why is everybody not confined, or why isn't my special, food in the store? They're going to help you deal with these stored up emotions, these daily frustrations that we're going through. And fortunately for us today, as believers, we have the Bible. We have the living, inerrant Word of God. We have the gift of God's Word given to us for our benefit. And so as a reminder, I just want to tell you again, once again, this series, it's called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. Because we're all going through this. We know you're going through it, and you know we're going through it, and we're all going through it. So today, what I want us to look at, and we're going to specifically look at the Bible principles that'll keep you calm in a crisis. When everything's going haywire and everything's going south and you're trying to go north, it's going to give you some calmness in the middle of the storm, some calmness in all of this crisis. Because what happens, typically what happens, how we respond to a crisis is in two ways. Either in anger, why me? Why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. This shouldn't be happening to me. And either you're going to blow up and all of that, or you're going to clam up, one of the two. Yeah, you're going to become mute and you're not going to say anything and you're just going to stuff it, or you're going to become a maniac and explode all the time. And I like to say it, I heard him say this, you're either going to stew or you're going to spew, one of the two. And often our response to a crisis, it's in anger. Because we don't know how, we just need to vent, we need to let it out, and it's in anger. And maybe if it's with somebody around the house, and all of a sudden it's just like we holler out as, you don't appreciate me. Or we might yell at somebody and say, why can't you be more like so-and-so, and fill in the blanks. Or either so-and-so's mom, or so-and-so's parents, or so-and-so's dad, they let them stay out late. And we respond in ways like that. And anger arises in us. So listen. In this heated situation, there is a way to respond in calmness. There is a way to respond in meekness. And anger only produces anxiety. Listen to what I'm saying. Anger only produces anxiety, and it does not produce answers. But when you respond in calmness and kindness, it produces great marriages. It produces great friendships. It produces great parenting skills. It produces great business leaders. And it produces great role models. So how do you get through what you're going through and keep calm in the middle of the conflict? And I think what you're going to be really surprised today when we talk about this, because it doesn't have anything to do with channeling your inner peace. It has very little to do with meditation and nothing to do with yoga. There's nothing in here that I'm going to talk about that's about spiritual enlightenment and calmness or anything like that. And so the best way to invite calmness into your life is to evict anger. The best way to invite calmness into your life is to evict anger, to take control of your anger. And listen, the absence of anger is calmness in your life. Calmness and composure, they're just byproducts of anger management, of controlling your anger. So today what I want us to look at, and I want us to look at these three biblical principles of taking control of your anger. Everything from mild frustration of just an unclean house, to the loss of employment, to financial difficulties, to relationship problems. It's going to help you to calm them down, to calm your response to these. And so if you want, I guess let's call them three steps to calming the storm, whatever your storm might be. And so this is the principles that we're going to learn about this morning. And guess what? You can start applying them today. You can start applying them to your lives as soon as you get done. So principle number one, and you might want to write these down, is realize the cause. Principle number one about controlling your anger, realize the cost. I mean, this is the starting point. This is what we need to understand before we understand anything else, is there's a cost to uncontrolled anger. There's a cost to uncontrolled anger. And unfortunately, your children may have to pay it. Or your spouse may have to pay it. Or your best friend may have to pay it. Or your parents may have to suffer through it. But you need to realize what's most important is there is a cost to it. And once you realize that it's going to cost something, you're less likely to get angry. You're less likely to raise your voice. You're less likely to use them harsh words. Because remember, there's always a price tag to uncontrolled anger, and it could be really expensive. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." In other words, what he's saying is a hot-tempered man, he gets in all kinds of trouble. And I think that you know that our words can get us in trouble. And the Bible even tells us, you know, what kinds of trouble. And the Bible gets specific on that. And it says Proverbs 15:18, and it says a hot-tempered stirs up strife. He causes trouble for himself. Those around him, he causes trouble for them. Those in his home, he causes trouble for them. Those in his workplace, he causes trouble for them. And a hot temper causes arguments, and we know that. We see that as one voice raises, another voice raises just a little bit higher. And have you ever let those words roll off your tongue when you might be in an argument or you're arguing with somebody, and then those words come out and you just wish that you could bring them back? You just pray you wish you would have never said them. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who has a hasty temper exalts folly." It means he shows foolishness in his life. And have you ever said that? My mouth got me in trouble. Has that ever happened to you? My mouth got me in trouble. Proverbs 14:17 says, a man of quick temper acts foolish. When you're quick about it, you act foolish. You say things that are foolish. You do things that are foolish. For you us guys, and probably some of you girls, have you ever tossed a wrench across the garage and let out a row of curse words just in a fit of anger? Did it help? Did the bolt come loose then? Did you ever tell the boss how you really felt about them and then wish you wouldn't have said anything? Did you ever describe your in-laws in a not-so-flattering way and got yourself into trouble in that way? And we've all done that. We've all said things we regret. Yeah. You always lose when you lose your temper. You always lose when you lose your temper. You lose the respect of others around you. You can lose the love of family members. You could lose your job over it. If you keep it held inside, you could lose your health over it even. You just turn into a time bomb. And let me just pause for a second here. Just kind of a side note to the parents. When you're frustrated, it's really tempting to motivate your kids with anger. One of the reasons is because it works, but it only works for a short term. Now, anger gets people's attention. When you yell at the top of your voice, it gets their attention. And maybe there's a short-term payoff when there is quiet in the house or when they do stop doing what they're doing. But it's just short-term. Because you have to remember, with anger, there's always a cost. Nothing destroys a relationship faster than anger. That's why the Bible says, Proverbs 11:29, it says, whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. I mean, think about that. When you trouble your own household, you'll inherit the wind. You can't even hold on to that. So you got to realize that there is a cost to anger. Principle number two is we just need to resolve to manage it. We need to do it today, and we need to do it in our lives, and we just need to resolve to manage it. Resolve to just manage your anger. Not to get away with it, not to do away with it, but just resolve to manage your anger. What I'm saying when I say resolve your anger, I'm just saying we need to choose to address it. Is it an issue? Is it something that's creating some problems? We just need to look at it. We just need to say to ourselves, I'm tired of hurting myself, because there's always a cost. We need to say, I'm tired of hurting other people, because the most of the time we don't mean to hurt other people. We just need to say, I'm tired of hurting my family. I'm tired of apologizing for something I said. I'm tired of my anger taking over. We just need to say, I'm going to choose to change with God's help. And I'm going to resolve to manage that in my life. And one of the things that we need to do, we need to quit saying, I can't control it. We need to stop that. We need to start realizing that with God's help, you can control it. With God's help, you can change. You have more control than you realize over your anger, over all of your emotions. Anger is just an emotion that's in your life. How many times have you've been in a heated argument, maybe arguing at the dinner table or arguing over a TV program or arguing about something, and the phone rings, and all of a sudden, just from anger, you go to sweetness. Hello. Oh, hi. How you doing? It's just an emotion. We can control it. Guess what? Anger's a choice. You can choose to be mad. You can choose to be glad. You can choose to get better, or you can choose to be bitter. It's your choice. And Proverbs 29:11, once again, it tells us is that a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. It says, a wise man, one with wisdom, quietly holds it back. And so if you would, if you're working in your Bible and if you're highlighting the words in it, I'd like you to just circle the word quietly holds it back. Or your Bible might say keeps. I'd like you to just circle that. Because a wise man, he keeps himself under control. Doesn't say he's not angry, but he keeps himself under control. Because anger is a choice. Just like happiness is a choice. It's controllable. And you say, well, you know, you just need to say in your life, you know, I'm going to choose to stop being that way. And then it's going to happen every time? No, there's going to be times that you falter, but you're going to choose each time to stop being that way. So you just got to, one, you got to think about this, and you have to process in your mind and realize this, that anger costs. And it's going to cost somebody. It's going to cost you for sure, but it's probably going to cost somebody that you love. So anger costs. And step number two, you need to resolve to manage it in your life. You need to believe that with God's help, I can do something about this. There is something that I can do to change. And then step number three, and this is really the important one. This is the one we're going to read about in the book of James. It's principle number three, is reflect before reacting. Reflect on what's going on before reacting. Let me say it in my own words. Think before you talk. Pause for a moment. Ponder what you're getting ready to say. This is where James' advice to the early believers, this really helps us out. This is why we're so lucky to have the Bible. As it says in James, chapter 1, verse 19, and they're going through a difficult time, and there has been some difficult times, and they're being isolated in their houses, and they're being pointed out. And so he says in this, he says, know this. He's telling his brothers, he said, understand this. And he says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And he says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I want you to hear that last part. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what James is writing to the believers back then, and what God is saying to us today, the point of this book in James, is to teach us to live as Christians. That in a time of crisis, we don't pull our hair out and go crazy. That in a time of chaos and in a time of difficult times, James says, if you claim to be a Christian, and you say that you're a Christian, you claim to be a follower of Christ, then you need to act the same way that Christ would act in the same situation. You need to act the same way that Jesus would act in the same situation. But James doesn't, he doesn't just give us a rule. He doesn't just say, you can't be mad. He doesn't just say, stop being mad. He gives us the reason of why we should live in a certain way that we should. And in this verse, what he does is he makes it his point that the work starts on the inside and goes to the outside. The work starts in our heart on the inside, and then the outside will follow. He moves from the internal to the external. He moves from being to doing. He moves from character to conduct. He moves from my identity in Christ, who am I in Christ, to Christ, who is He? He moves from my activity in the world, and he moves from belief to behavior. But it always starts on the inside and moves to the outside. So I like what James does. He always tells us why we should do something before he tells us what we're supposed to do. He gives us reason why we should do it before he says what we're supposed to do. So in this case, he says, I want you to be quick to listen. I want you to be slow to speak. And I want you to be slow to get angry. Why is that? Because that's the way God is. That's the way God treats you. He says, God is slow to get angry at you. I want you to be slow to get angry at others. He says, if you're a follower of Christ, then you need to be Christ-like and act like Christ would act. And he is slow to anger with us. And he also says you need to be slow to get angry. Because anger will never lead you to live the life, the kind of life that God wants for you. God wants you to live a life of fulfillment, of encouragement, a life of peace and prosperity, a life of calmness and compassion. And he said uncontrolled anger, it just doesn't work. It doesn't bring the answers that we're looking for. And here's what I love about the Bible. So he tells us all this stuff. He tells us everything. And then James, what does he do? He gives us action steps. He gives us things that we can do in our life today, that we can begin taking steps in today. And so that's where we're going to wrap this up a little bit. The first thing he says, if you want to control your anger, if you want calmness in your life, if you want a peace in your life, he says the first action step that you need to take is to be quick to listen. And that sounds a little strange, but it's to be quick to listen. What that means is hurry up and listen. It means hurry up and listen. Before you start talking, it means hurry up and listen. It means when you're angry and you're hurt, it means hurry up and listen. It means before you start talking and giving your viewpoint, it means hurry up and listen. It means listen and ask yourself while you're listening, did I hurt somebody? It means don't be so quick to get your point across. Listen what the other person has to say and genuinely listen. Because when you do that, when you genuinely listen to what they have to say, there's a calmness that comes from that. There's a diffusing that comes from that. And not for the other person, but for everybody, for you mostly. So that action step, you can start that today. Be quick to listen. And number two, it's like it almost, be slow to speak. Number two is be slow to speak. Anger controlled begins with control of the mouth. Anger controlled begins with control of the mouth. He says, be slow to speak. Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. He says, be slow to speak. As a wise man, he waits. He holds back. He ponders about what he's about to say. And when we delay, when we do that, when we wait on there, it's kind of like a hot pan. It's kind of like a frying pan that's sitting on the stove. With time, it begins to cool. With time, the heat tends to rise off of it and just go up into air. And I know there's probably some of you right now that's listening to this message and are thinking, my gosh, I wish he'd hurry up. Be quick to listen. Listen to the words of God. Be slow to speak. Think about what you're about to say. And then lastly, and he says, be slow to get angry. This is an important one. Be slow to get angry. Because when we slow ourselves, when we delay our response, when we ponder our words, it allows wisdom to soak in. It allows the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. It allows anger to subside, and it allows calmness to prevail. And so what I'd like to do right now is ask that each one of us would commit that into our lives, that we would come before the Lord and we would ask Him to work on our anger, that we would ask Him to work on our response, that we would ask Him to work on our compassion. And if you're not a believer today and you're listening to this message, I pray that you would ask Him to come into your life and help you to grow in those areas. Because He does, He loves you, and He wants to help you change your life to be the person that He's called you to be. So let's pray. Lord, we do. We come before You right now, Lord, and we ask that you would help us control our anger, Lord. We want to once again, Lord, whether we're a believer or a non-believer, Lord, we ask that we would commit our lives to You, that as believers that we would refresh, that as non-believers that we would respond to You, that we would accept Your work in our lives, Lord, that we would ask You, that we would turn our anger over to You, or that we would turn our lives over to You, Lord. And please allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and change our lives. We pray that as we go through this study and we go through this day, that You would bring those things back to our remembrance, Lord. That anger costs people. That we would be slow to respond. That we would be more like Christ and less like ourselves. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.